This week's parasha is called Vayikra, which means, and he called. It covers Leviticus chapters 1 through chapter 6, verse 7. In these chapters, we will be covering five sacrifices that El-Gabor, mighty God, required of the Jewish people. The first sacrifice is the burnt offering, followed by a grain offering, peace offering, sin offering, and a guilt offering. We will start with the burnt offering, which emphasized prayers of petition or peace. This was a costly sacrifice as the whole animal was to be burned up with nothing left except for the skin, which the priest himself was to keep. The burnt offering was male without defects, such as cattle, sheep, goats, even birds, as long as they were not birds of prey. Scripture tells us that it was a pleasing aroma to the Lord. We all know there is nothing like a barbecue to make us feel hungry. But in this case, however, you are not allowed to eat any of it. Priests were to bring the blood and throw the blood against the sides of the altar at the entrance of the tent of meeting. When anyone brings a grain offering to the Lord, their offering was to be of finest flour. They are to pour olive oil on it, put incense on it too, and take it to Aaron's sons, the priest. The priest shall take a handful of flour and oil together with all the incense, and burn this as a memorial portion on the altar, a food offering and aroma pleasing to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the food offering presented to the Lord. The grain offering was without leaven, a symbol of sin in the Word of God. We'll hear more about leaven when we cover Passover and later parashas. While the text in this scripture does not explain the reason for the grain offering, other grain offerings were usually in thanksgiving to the Lord for all that he has done for his people. In chapter 3, we cover the peace offering. The peace offering was for fellowship with the Lord by having a communion meal. The peace offering could be cattle or sheep. The blood was poured on the altar sides and the priest was given a portion of this as well as one bringing that offering. In the offering, the priest brought the offerer's petition to praise to El Elyon, God Most High, that he was the only one worthy of this most high honor. Chapter 4 brings us the laws for sin offering. This offering was for atonement of committed sins. Offerings consisted of cattle, sheep, birds, because they represented Christ's chastity, his meekness and gentleness, and that purity of mind which becomes every worshiper of God. Hence, birds of prey and those of a coarser kind were not to be offered. The blood was smeared on the sides of the altar inside the tent. This was the way the Israeli could make amends for one's broken relationship with the Lord, caused by either unintentionally violating one of the Lord's commandments or by failing to do so by something that they were required. This was required by the Jewish nation, including leaders and priests. There's a reminder for all of us in leadership that more is required of us. Look at Moses. He made the one recorded mistake when he struck the rock twice and took credit for it. And it's not that he struck the rock twice, but that he took credit for it, that he was not allowed in the promised land at that time. He would get there during the transfiguration with Elijah when he met with Messiah. Chapter 5 covers the law of guilt offerings, which, like the sin offering, were an atonement for committed sin. However, before this offering could be made, the offender must make reparations to the damaged party, plus 20% for the sin against his neighbor. Geez, wouldn't it be nice if that still happened today? Following this, the offender may bring the offering asking for God's forgiveness. Some applications for us to consider. The animals that were sacrificed were to be without blemish, the best of the herd, worthy of the sacrifice, just as Yeshua the Messiah was without blemish and was most worthy of the sacrifice he made once and for all. The burnt offering is called olah in Hebrew, and the two types of animals that were to be used, animals from the herd of the cattle or from the flock, are sheep. wild animals that were animals of prey were excluded. Carnivorous animals were forbidden for all sacrifices. Animals that lived by slaying other animals could not reveal Messiah Yeshua, who came to give his life as a ransom for the many. The sacrificed animals needed to be domesticated animals, not animals that came as a result of a hunt. Only those that were valuable and dear to the owner could be offered, because it prefigures Jesus. This should note that the priests would put their hands on top of the heads of the animals to be sacrificed. We see a correlation in the early church when the leaders placed their hands on Paul and Barnabas when they designated them to go out in their place as representatives, just as we do today when we send out missionaries. With regard to the sin sacrifice, there was an atonement, which means to cover, not remove, for it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away the sin, Hebrews 10:4. Only the Lamb of God removes the sin, and this is our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. When the sacrifices of all these lead us to Messiah Yeshua, God sees only our Messiah as the one who could truly satisfy him for your sins and mine. Brothers and sisters, I hope that you see that Messiah Yeshua can fill those shoes, only him. I'm sure for some of us, on any given day, we still believe that we can bring our best fruits to the Lord, and it might not make us look as sinful as we are. But I promise you that the Lord God will not accept that from us in lieu of our sin. We are never worthy enough. Only the sacrifice that Messiah Yeshua brings is acceptable. The Father only accepts what Messiah Yeshua has done for you and for me. And he counts the righteousness of Yeshua as our righteousness. Brothers and sisters, trust God today, tomorrow, and always, and you will live eternally with El Gabor, mighty God. Amen.